There's a joke amongst the priests of the archdiocese that you could be assigned to Sacred Heart Parish and no one would know where that is because there are so many Sacred Heart Parishes in the archdiocese. It's a good thing. It was a time and a purpose that devotion to the Sacred Heart came about. I don't know if you understand that or you know that, but you have to understand that the love of God has always been a part of the proclamation of the gospel message, the good news. But at a certain period of time in the 1600s, 17th century, the idea of Jansenism began to rear its ugly head in the church. And in Jansenism, this idea of a growing perfection of oneself in order to be loved, in order to enter in, and to be saved, and all of these things. And so Jesus appeared to Margaret Mary Alacoque and made it very clear the error of Jansenism. We see it in the second reading today, just freely given the first letter of St. John. It's not that we have loved God, but that he has loved us. My brothers and sisters, God first loved us. When we were incapable of reconciliation, we were incapable of redemption for ourselves, justification by ourselves. Even the following of the law simply points out where we fall. The observance of the law did not bring forth justification. It only showed the people where they were falling short. Their willful desire to follow the law, their attempts to follow the law, was taken by God as an affirmation of their desire, but never leading to their justification. It is not until Jesus lays down his life and gives his life for the world that we find redemption, mercy, compassion, reconciliation, transformation. In Jesus we have justification. In Jesus we have redemption. It is God first loving us, inviting us into a reconciliation with the Father through the waters of baptism, to be reconciled, to be redeemed. And in that invitation, my brothers and sisters, John makes it very clear. This is how we know that we remain in him and he in us, that he has given to us his Spirit. Pentecost is not a blip on the radar. It is not an event that is like ho-hum or maybe necessary. The pouring out of the Holy Spirit upon the church was the fulfillment and the fulfillment of promise that we are now entering into his love. And reflecting upon the ascension of Jesus into heaven, in my own mind, my own imagination, I imagine the Son approaching the Father and the Father embracing the Son. There was so much gratitude because he has longed to pour his Spirit upon all of creation, and his Son, by his obedience and what he has done, has made it possible. The Father longing to pour his love into his creation. He wants to pour into all of creation, but for now, to pour it into the redeemed. And to continue to pour out his love in the church, in the redeemed, so that they might know his love. St. Therese, if you read St. Therese, she is so influenced by the revelations of the Sacred Heart, with so much confidence in God's mercy and his love, She and herself in France had to fight Jansenism, which had taken its roots there in France. The perfectionism of all of these things, of justification, of earning God's love. My brothers and sisters, you cannot avoid sin without receiving the love of God. I said this the other day. It is the love of God that comes into our life and fills us, that then pushes out all of the false, all of the inadequate, all of the substitutes, because now we have the authentic. Do we deserve this? Have I earned it? No, and you never will, my brothers and sisters. If I give you something that you could never earn or never deserve, and I give it to you, one, you have to receive it. If I gave to you something that you could never earn, you could never deserve, that you could never, how hard would it be to receive it? Hard? Darn right it's hard. What have I done for this? You're crazy. Why would you give this to me? Right? These are some of the phrases that might come to mind in that moment. When God desires to pour out his love upon the world, these are the responses that well up within us. We are unworthy, we are undeserving. Yes, but he gives it. It need be received, my brothers and sisters. And if I gave you a gift and you actually received it from me, what would I expect you to do with that gift? Would I expect you to buy a storage shed and to put it in there and lock it and seal it and never use it, afraid that you would damage such a precious, wonderful gift? You would piss me off if you did that. And you wouldn't understand the value of the gift that I gave to you. When God pours out his love upon the church, he invites the church to operate in that love. To open up the gift, to make it your own, to operate in that reconciliation and love. Not to put it on the shelf as if it is a trinket or a treasure that only should be observed, and then I sit there trying to earn it and deserve it. No, my brothers and sisters. Jesus says in the gospel today, come to me, all you who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest. There are times when we can take redemption and the love of God and we can turn it into a burden. Have you ever done that? Where God gives this wonderful gift of redemption to you and his love, and you turn it into a burden. Oh, I don't know what to do with this. I'm going to jack this up. I'm going to mess it up. I'm going to do this. I'm going to be burdened by his love. Do you think God wants to give you his freedom and his love so that you would be burdened? His love is precisely what you need. It is his love that you long for. It is his love that fills that deep place within you that only he can fill. Receive the gift and then live and abide in that gift. Then you will glorify him. If I gave you, I don't even know what an expensive car is this day, a Maserati or Rolls Royce or something, and I gave it to you and you parked it in the garage and never used it, I would be angry with you. I would want you to use it, to fly in it, to enjoy every moment of this great and awesome gift that has been given to you, to make it your own. Jesus says, come to me and I will make your life burdensome by loving you and giving you freedom. No, he says, come to me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Our struggles with sin, my brothers and sisters, I have to believe that our struggles with sin is not yet fully receiving the love of Christ for us, qualifying it, conditioning it, keeping it from us. Receive the gift of love. You are not worthy of it. I am not worthy of it. It is freely given. It is what you most long for, and it is impossible for you to have or earn or deserve without it being given. And receiving that gift, my brothers and sisters, live in it. Don't be afraid you're going to mess it up. Abide, draw that love to you. Receive His love outpoured for you. Operate in that truth of His love for you. When we are filled with the authentic, it is much easier to say no to the inauthentic. When we are truly known, when we are truly filled, when we drink fully of His love and it wells up within us like an overflowing torrent. An overflowing torrent means that it goes out of us, it goes to others. Yet we are completely filled. We should be the happiest of people. Don't you think? God has laid down His life for us. And He has poured His love, all of His love, within our being. To be filled with that gift, to be fully satisfied. That's why St. Paul makes it so clear, makes it so important. What can separate us from the love of God? He starts going through all of the persecutions, all of these things. Nothing, nothing. We have it. It is ours. It belongs to us. We have overcome everything. And no matter what the world throws at us, we conquer overwhelmingly in Jesus Christ because of His love for us. And nothing can separate us from that. If your experience of living in this is the same as mine, there's only one thing that separates us from God's love. And that's us. When we hold out our hand and we say, I've screwed up this way, I've done this wrong, I don't deserve to be loved, don't love me like this, I don't even love myself like this right now. You can't love me until I fix myself. Then you can love me. Doesn't work, my brothers and sisters. It has never worked, and it will never work. Only His love. Only His love. It is for you, not against you. It is for you. God is faithful for how many generations, does the psalm say? To the thousandth generation. Do you know how many generations it's been since Jesus? If you say 40 years per generation, it's been 50 generations. If you say 50 years per generation, it's been 40. We're not even in triple digits yet, my brothers and sisters. And God is faithful to the thousandth generation, to those who love Him. We're not to have confidence in our ability to avoid sin, but have confidence in the love that pours forth from the pierced heart of Jesus for you and for me. Amen.